I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Come with me on a journey into the mind, into the misunderstood and mysterious world of neurodiversity, into a place of daring discovery and desperate darkness, but also, you know, fun. Come with me if you dare, into the Neuroverse.
Everybody, hello everybody, welcome to what's it called, Into the Neuroverse. This is me, Colin Holt, an ADHD person, a neurodiverse person, possibly an autistic person. We're still trying to work that out. Anyway, if you've listened to this podcast before, or you'll know that I take you on a journey through my own neurodiversity and possibly yours by discussing and discussing episodes I've had, things that have happened to me, things I want to talk about, ways in which I struggle with a dull old neurotypical world. And I try and think of some sort of thing that might help you, a little tip, a little thing to help navigate. Now, this whole thing is a massive ADHD nightmare, because obviously I set it up and went, oh, this will be all right. I'll just switch the mic on and talk. People love my voice. People love hearing me speak. And it's gone all right. However, the other side to all that is sort of managing things and putting things out and remembering to do things, which isn't great for ADHD people. Now, I was reached a point of like, should I continue? We've gone on this long, wonderful journey. And my friend, Daniel, Mr. Eyes on Legs, has done the music. He's created a lovely map, which we must put out. On this lovely, fantastical journey, we went through the maze of marvels, the mines of misinformation, all that. But to be honest, I've had some work come in, which has been lovely. And then you go, oh God, how am I going to get that done as well? And then I was in a fancy dress shop trying to find a Viking girl outfit for my daughter, who for the classic Viking day, we all know that famous holiday where you have to dress up as a Viking. And surprisingly, there were four different types. Anyway, at that point, I thought I'd phone my friend Jamie Firth, who, if you're a fan of Anna Mann, especially my show Death of Anna Mann, you might have heard me talk about Jamie, came in quite near the end and helped me absolutely fix the show. Everyone bangs on about how much they love that ending and how beautiful and sweet it is. Jamie helped me write it, along with Lucy, who he also writes with, who isn't here. But Jamie is here. Hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for coming. So Jamie, you know, when you're in a journey like this, you reach a tavern. That's what I meant to say. We're now at the Tavern of Friendship, and you pick up a companion. So Jamie is going to come on this journey with us into neurodiversity. I'm going to keep on waffling the old shit like before, but Jamie's going to pick me up on it, ask me some questions, check it what I mean by that, and just help me guide the whole thing along, which I think will be nice. The Samwise Gamgee to my Frodo. Fuck. I don't. Do you know he was the chap from Goonies?
I don't understand that.
You don't know what Lord of the Rings is? You don't know what Samwise Gamgee or Frodo are?
I recognize Frodo. I mean, I've sat through the films.
Is it Samwise Gamgee? Samwise Gamgee sounds like a bit of a reggae name.
I was just about to say it was that's definitely a branch of cannabis, I think.
Samwise Gamgee.
Yes.
Oh, he's absolutely off his tits on Samwise Gamgee tonight. Yeah. So, Jamie, you're going to help me. Do you remember when I called you? I was in that shop and there were four different
Vikings. You don't forget it when you get a call from a Viking fancy dress outing.
No, trying to find which one to go with. And then I was messaging my wife saying, what about this one? What about this one? And they're all shit. I mean, they're all dreadful. And they don't come with a helmet. The most expensive one was £25. It didn't come with a helmet. And I opened it up I said to the woman, can I open these up? She's like, yeah. She really, I've never seen a woman who's, or man, a person, a shop person. What do you call a shop person?
A shop assistant.
A shop person who's, you know, less interested in what's going on in the shop that she runs. She couldn't give a shit, mate. I just opened them all up, had them all over the floor, taking photos, sending them in. I thought, this looks weird. Did find a costume, which was Evacuee Girl, which I sent you a photo of.
You did.
That's weird, wasn't it? And what did it say on it?
Yes.
Dressing up is fun or something?
It was something like that. It was be who you want to be, I think.
Be who you want to be. I want to be an Evacuee Girl.
Yes.
She looked very sad, very pale.
It's everyone's dream.
With everyone with a little suitcase by her side waiting to get that train. World War II Evacuee Girl. It wasn't quite as, you know, Refugee Girl, which would be particularly exploitative, wouldn't it? But
yes, absolutely.
I guess some schools have an Evacuee Girl thing. Anyway, Jamie, this episode, this is just a bridge into season two.
Hmm.
Thank you for coming on. You are neurotypical.
Yes, I believe so. So we know,
I think you are.
I think typical across the board, really.
Like sort of frighteningly so, if anything.
Yes, just an average person.
Upsettingly neurotypical?
Comfortably, I think.
Resignedly.
Yes. Yes, I'll never be special.
Do you ever look at us X-Men and sort of, as we like to think ourselves, and sort of go, God, if only I could have those powers.
Yes.
Those powers of being a bit late and forgetting things.
Yes.
And not knowing, and not making eye contact and such. I'm not making eye contact with you now because the weird thing with Zoom is you're looking at my shoulder.
Yes, and I can't tell where the camera is anyway.
It's really, it feels like we're buzz-eyed or something. Anyway, thank you for coming on. You are neurotypical.
Yes.
And you do you want to just tell us a bit about what you do, Jamie? You work on lots of shows and stuff, don't you? Just they don't know who you are and they're desperate. They're chomping a bit.
I do a variety of backgroundy things. I've written bits and pieces for people. I've helped people with shows. I have a theatre company with my partner. We do lots of Edinburgh shows and elsewhere, if anyone will have us.
Lucy Roslin. Is Lucy Roslin her... That's her stage name, isn't it?
It's a stage name, but...
I didn't know that until recently. Freaks me out when I find that out. I don't know whether that's a neurodiverse thing.
Could be.
It's like, it was never the person I thought it was.
Well, interesting. It's caused a lot of confusion because interestingly, early on in her career, she wrote stuff and then was in them, but it was too much pressure for her to be both. So she actually wrote under a different name and was in it under a stage name.
Yeah. She wrote under a pseudonym.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I remember writing reviews and what was the writing person? What was the pseudonym?
Her writing person is actually her real name.
So I remember the reviews saying, with an excellent script by so-and-so performance.
It was quite clever, I think. Yeah. Like she didn't want the pressure. She thought if people came, they may hate the writing and like the show, or vice versa. And either way, she got half of the credit. But sadly, it went very well. And after a couple of shows, she just started using just the one name. So
It was me all along.
Indeed.
It's like me and Anna Mann. You know, it was me all along. That's what I'm coming to realise. I had a long chat with my therapist about it the other day. It was very good. We probably don't have time for that.
Oh, my goodness. That was you. You were that.
Yeah, I was Anna Mann all along.
Oh, my goodness.
I get to the point where I think, who was that funny woman?
What a Scooby-Doo
Who was that funny? You know, I've talked about this before, but no one seems to get it, or it doesn't seem to resonate with people. But for a long time, I had a dream. I had a dream as a kid, and it always stuck in my head forever of this dream where I'd been on this like trip with these funny old men, right? Or jolly old men, not in a, you know, weird way, but like a couple of funny old men and this funny woman and her husband, and they were always moaning. And the men had like these uniforms. We went on this bus and we went on this holiday camp and it was amazing. And just like everything was funny, like crazy stuff kept happening. And I kept saying to my mum, who were those people? Like I kept trying to remember. Like I thought it was a memory, sorry. I didn't think it was a dream. I thought it was a memory. And I was just like, who were those people? And then genuinely, like when I was like in my 20s, it came on ITV, On the Buses Go on Holiday. And it was the sitcom On the Buses. And do you know the sitcom On the Buses?
I do.
But I'd spent like 15 years of my life. I'd never seen it in between. I'd spent 15 years of my life just having this vague memory of these wonderful old men who took me on this journey. Like I thought it was real. Anyway.
That makes a lot of sense in how your character has developed.
I'm not like Jack, am I? Oh, Jack.
I think of you more as the Clippy. I can't. Whose name?
Who's okay, you butler. That guy.
No. The
what's a Clippy?
The woman.
Olive.
She took the tickets on the at the back of the bus.
I don't remember.
On the buses.
You saying I'm inconsequential character? I'm not Prince Hamlet, nor was meant to be. Is that what you're saying?
She was the highlight for me, I'll be honest.
Was she sexy? Wendy Richards was in it. She was very sexy back then.
I think you'll have to Google that later and check it out for yourself.
When I get a moment alone. Oh, no.
Yes.
This has turned. Anyway, so yeah, that's...
I mean, to get back on track. So one of the reasons I assume that you've brought me into this.
Brought you in.
I also have, over the years, having done Edinburgh a lot of times, I then started to do a chat show at Edinburgh where I interviewed performers about their mental health and how to get through the festival.
Yeah.
Talking to lots of different comedians and actors and directors and, you know, Edinburgh, horrible, high pressure situation, and different coping mechanisms to get through. And that was with the Mental Health Foundation. I think there's a lot of parallel things going on with your journey into this.
For those who don't know, the Edinburgh Festival, I'm sure a lot of people listen to this probably know, but the Edinburgh Festival is every year there's this month long festival performers do. We don't really remember why we're doing it a lot of the time but it's sort of a showcase, isn't it? You lose a lot of money. It's very stressful. If you have a good year, it's like you're the happiest you could ever be. If you have a bad year, it's you feel absolutely in the dumps. I've experienced both.
I think
many times.
I was going to say, generally speaking, I think a lot of people have more bad than good. Because usually if you have a good year, then it leads to wonderful things, which is why you play.
I mean, again,
so
with the ADHD, I just forget. You know, I didn't think I'd go back if I didn't have this, like, reset button that keeps happening, like Total Recall, you know, where I go back and I'm saying, oh yeah, it'll be great this year, won't it? You know, what could happen? And I've just wiped the slate of what happened, you know, of all the bad stuff. And then I get, you know, but generally I think I have reached a point with it where I'm just like, no, this is really good fun and we're really lucky to do it. I know, not saying we should be fleeced, but you know, it's a lovely life to be able to write and put on a show and people come. It's just bliss, isn't it? Everyone should have it.
Yeah.
And nowadays, everyone does, thanks to bloody social media.
Yes.
It's no longer a preserve of the elite, which I feel it should remain. I feel like art should be a thing for just the elite. Not really. I don't really think that. So anyway, what this is today is a little bridge. It's not a serious episode. It's not a, you know, this is just a little bridge into season two. And I thought we'd just go back. Jamie's going to ask me some questions he's listened to all of them. Did you listen to all of them? I couldn't.
I pretended to listen to all of them. I listened to half of the first one and
very
got
clever.
The gist.
Very
Not
clever.
Not true, no.
Sometimes I listen to a podcast I want to listen to, which is normally about Marvel Comics, and then it ends and then my own one comes up. And I'm like, oh, switch it off. This is awful. You know, no, actually what genuinely happens is it comes on and I go, oh no, it's my one. And then I go, oh, this is actually really good. And then
an hour later, you're like, that was good. Actually, I think that's quite interesting.
I'm actually very clever and very funny.
Brave.
So, but I do say too much, which I'm trying not to. And I talk over the other person, which I'm hoping your presence here will help, you know? So
I can't help you with the ums because I do that all the time and I've now spoken over you. So there we go. Tick both boxes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Ideally, I think each season, I was just saying each season we can stop at a tavern break between seasons and get another companion that joins us. And then eventually it'll just be like 30 people on Zoom, all just talking at once. I went to ADHD Aware in Brighton. Which was great. I went once ages ago. Every week I think I must go to that. Every week I forget. One week I somehow managed to go, and
tell me what that is?
ADHD Aware is a setup. I think it's a charity. Must be a charity. Yes, it's set up for people with ADHD to meet up once a month. They meet up to talk, have a chat, in person. I think once a month there's a Zoom thing, and then they occasionally have like guest speakers and things like that. And they have like advice type clinics and all that. And it was great. I went in, but it was like just a cacophony of sound. It was 50 people or whatever. Maybe not 50, just all sat around a table, all talking to each, you know, just all talking at the same time at each other. Like this one guy I chatted to just talked nonstop. And it was wonderful. Genuinely, you just felt kind of, there was a moment of safety, of safe feeling, which I, do you know what I got? It's very telling, but I got when I took my kids to Comic Con the other day, my kids sat with my friend while I just went for a little walk around, and I got this absolute sense of bliss, and it actually brought a tear to the eye because I just felt like this is the place where it's okay for people to wander around, and not even that you have to be dressed up as Doctor Who or whatever, but just, oh, we're all odd here.
You found your people.
We're all odd. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I find nerdy geekiness sometimes a bit like overwhelming, a bit like, shut up, you know, but I don't know. It just felt sweet. So sweet that it was like the X-Men were all together.
Well, I shall research that immediately. And I think we could probably put a link to that into the description at the bottom.
Into what? Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Yeah.
ADHD Aware.
Oh yeah, ADHD Aware. God, of course, definitely. What was also funny, I might have said this before on the podcast, but they said they booked a table at a pub for afterwards. So go along there, and about 8 of us went along to that. Maybe about 10 of us. We went along. We got there. We said, ADHD Aware have booked a table for us. And they went, no one's booked a table for ADHD Aware. They've forgotten to book the table for ADHD Aware.
Lack of focus.
Icing on the cake.
At the headquarters.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone was literally late coming in, which was great. Anyway, there you go. We'll talk about that another time, perhaps. But we're in the tavern. Here we are, sharing a bloody mug of tea. Talking about this journey so far, I've met Jamie there. He says, you look like you've been on a long journey, traveller. Yes, I say, many miles have I travelled. I actually really hate geeks, but many miles have I travelled on this journey into my own mind. I've been to the Maze of Marvels, the Mines of Misinformation. I fought the Many-Headed Hydra. I wouldn't remember any of this if I wasn't looking at the list right now. And he says, I have many questions for you, traveller.
I do.
So, Jamie, do you want to ask me some questions? I do have to do some laundry at 1:30.
Okay.
That's the one problem. Proviso.
Yes. Welcome to the tavern. Laundry, laundry available.
/ laundrette. Yeah, go on.
Well, I think the first thing I just wrote down as an idea is how do we define neuroverse? Can we go right back to basics? And what in your mind, what is the neuroverse?
That's a very good question. I think the neuroverse is a place where you go out and the world's, I guess it's like being in therapy, in that you go out and the world's like absolutely manic and nonstop. I was going to my therapist the other day and I was thinking, I was preparing what I was going to say to him, like it was a gig. Oh, I'll do that. And I was like, what am I doing? This is the one chance in my life I don't have to do that. So I guess the neuroverse is, a lot of it comes from free writing and journaling that I do around a subject. So it is trying to be as much as possible without it being boring or annoying, hopefully, me going on a journey into a subject that I've experienced. And I guess the neuroverse is a place, a safe-ish place from the neurotypical world, where we can actually discuss what's that about? What happened there, you know?
And you can do that, and you can do that with other people. So are you're interacting into their neuroverse and comparing, or are we all...
On guests?
Yeah,
I guess that's the idea when I bring on guests. The idea more with the... So I talk to guests, and that's called Sort Your Brain Out. And the idea with that is I talk about a thing that I'm struggling with in the real world, like conviction or commitment or knowing when it's okay to talk about things. And with someone who I admire, and I get their thoughts on what they do, you know? So I talked to Suze Kempner about dealing with social media, which is something which is, I think, incredibly destructive to neurodiverse people. Can also be incredibly helpful, I think. But, you know, so I got some tips on how to deal with that.
Literally, the second question. Yeah. Literally, the second question I have written down is social media. And do you think, like, I'm aware that, you know, a lot more diagnoses of ADHD are happening recently. And I'm trying to piece together why that might be. Maybe it's because we're getting generally more progressive and we're actually starting to consider mental health as an actual health issue, which perhaps in the past it wasn't. But is it that, is social media a part of that? It gets blamed for everything else. How do you cope with that?
I think social media is brilliant for spreading. Obviously, as we know, it's very bad for spreading misinformation, but it's also really good for spreading truth about ADHD and people understanding that, and autism and trauma and so many other things. I think it's opening up those conversations for people to talk about. Where it really clicked for me was How to ADHD on YouTube, which is a brilliant series. And that really what got me getting my diagnosis. I think, yeah, I can get very ill from it. I get completely sucked into it, particularly when there's a big debate going on. I have to kind of step away from it a bit and try and protect myself. But it's often a debate, you know, that's what's happening politically at the minute. And I get stuck where I know some people end up saying things they don't really mean, you know, and getting in trouble for it. That happens a lot, obviously. For me, I get more stuck, as in I feel I should say something, but I don't know what to say. And then it just overwhelms me, but I can't stop looking at it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that can be things. Yeah. I think a lot of the debate around wokeism and all that stuff, wokeism, you know, whatever it's called, being woke and then the sort of Brexit things and all stuff like that. It freaks me out so much. And I get, yeah, for me, I guess with social media, those voices become like the voices that I've grown up with or that have been around that I've always feared or sort of telling me, you're wrong, lad. Come on, sort your brain out. What's up with you? You know, that kind of thing. So I can get really locked into that and also just literally can't stop refreshing and stuff like that. I can't stop looking away from the phone, particularly. Twitter, I have had to take off my phone completely. Instagram's a bit more fun, a bit easier. But then I do get, you know, I put a video on the other day that's doing okay, and I get massive high from it. That's wonderful. And I get to the end of the day and I'm like, say to Kat, like, I've had such a lovely day. I'm like, and then I piece go back to why, and it was literally because I got a lot of likes on social media. And you go, oh.
It must be more difficult as well because, you know.
I mean, that's like a neuroverse, isn't it? That's like an alternative reality or something that everyone's locked in.
Yeah, I think, you know, it gives birth to imposter syndrome and, you know, all sorts of other things. Just amplifies the fact that what everyone else is doing. Instagram, I think, is particularly guilty of that.
Yeah.
Looking at it and going, oh, they're doing better than me, or I'm not doing as well as them.
I believe that one day it will be a force for good, weirdly. I don't know why I have that in my heart. It's probably absolute bollocks, but I just feel like as much as, you know, because you can look at it and go, you know, I mean, like with Facebook helping Trump get elected and stuff, you know, especially if that fucking happens again, but it's like, you could go one day, okay, Facebook essentially wiped out humanity. You know, it's possible that that's how is what's going to happen. But I don't know. I do feel like it is like when any new big thing comes out. Someone was telling me the other day about the novel. When the novel came out, there was like riots because it was considered evil and all this stuff, you know, or like Rock and Bill Haley and the Comets, you know. But I think it's not the same as those things. But don't know. I feel like one day it will be a wonderful thing. But at the minute, it's incredibly hard to struggle with because there's no boundaries, I suppose. And actually, in some ways, you know, I grew up with no boundaries in many ways. And that really is a problem. And I think as a neurodiverse person, I crave boundaries so much whilst also constantly pushing against them because the ADHD, you know. And I think that's where I'm writing a script with my wife was helping me stay on it about my character Anna Mann, and it becomes about ADHD and all this stuff. And I was saying, like, it just, you know, the problem isn't ADHD. ADHD isn't a problem. The problem is, it's wonderful, you know. The problem is the world.
Yes. From
that thing. And I think the same for autism, probably.
And it's difficult because I don't have to worry about what I say on social media because barely anyone reads it. But you're a notable person. People follow you.
Yeah.
You know, Is that pressure always there that, you know, you worry about?
I suppose
about?
I never really get much shit. I did tweet about, because I found I was in an advert with David Beckham and I found like a bag my mum had saved. They printed bags in Australia. Some, I don't know how she got hold of this even. And I put a tweet about it and it got taken up by like The Independent or something. Or the Eye, you know, right. The online thing, this story. And I was like, oh, fuck, you know, because I didn't say anything bad about David Beckham, I don't think. But I don't have anything bad to say, I don't think. But it was like, you suddenly go, oh, shit, what did I say, you know? So I guess, I guess.
I mean, I don't want to worry you, but I did just watch the Beckham documentary on Netflix and he didn't mention you at all.
Oh, did he not? I mean, you say that, no. But genuinely, right? This is going in my show, but genuinely, I had a massively, because sometimes I really doubt, am I even live, or whatever, am I making it up? You know, do I have a diagnosed ADHD? But because there's so, that voice is so strong that's saying, you're all right, come on, get on with it. You know, that kind of voice. You know, it never bothered me. You know, I'm incredibly unhappy, but it never bothered me. You know, that kind of voice. But it's like, and I often get into a state where I'm walking along, and I've convinced myself I'm not autistic or ADHD. And then I was going to this gig, it was in Wales, and I went in the shop and I got this absolute flood of terror because this shop was too small and there were people in it who were being like rude to the woman and all the behind the counter and all this kind of thing. And the food was weird. And I got all these like sensory, just like explosion. Do you know what I mean? And then I saw the sun and it said Victoria. Posh.
Yes.
I still want to kill people for bullying David Beckham, for bullying my David, which was related to the Netflix documentary. And for about a minute, I was convinced she was talking about me. It's like, even though I didn't bully David Beckham, but just from like talking about it on social media or whatever, you know, or doing, I think I talked about it in the podcast, you know, and it's kind of a funny story. So
is Posh, following you?
Not as far as I know, but I kind of came away going, I mean, I don't know, is that even neurodiversity or is that like a massive narcissism? I don't know, but it was just I lost touch with reality for a second completely. Do you know what I mean? Because I was having this sensory overload. And then I went and did my show and it's fucking great. It was like I came away going, I've got the show because of that, I think. So anyway, so yeah, swings and roundabouts. What was the question?
So that's ruined your show.
Yep.
So that's got that out there.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I did want to ask about what was the first point? What was your first point of contact? Like, when did you think, I think you've covered this in the podcast, but let's just recap. When did you think, I need to go and see somebody and get like an official like read on this? And what did you do?
I mean, as I have the joke of like, when you, one of the symptoms of ADHD is telling everyone you meet you've got ADHD, which I think is kind of, I have that joke in my staff, which I think is kind of, I do it much better than that. I didn't deliver that very well, but you know.
It's like being a vegan as well. Same thing.
Yeah, yes, yes. Because you want, but partly it's like a hallelujah, you know, you do sort of go, oh, well, so many things make sense, you know. And you sort of see it in loads of people. My daughter's told me to stop saying everyone's got ADHD because I say, but you do look at people, you know, when you're in a situation, you go, and normally you come away going, ah, oh, fucking, you know, that arsehole. But then you go, oh, maybe they were having sensory overload, or maybe, that, do you know what I mean? Like, maybe they were just reacting in, or didn't know what to say, or were freaking out inside. And anyway, what was the question? When did I first, yeah, yeah. So, when did I first decide to get help? Yeah, so I did go to a GP. I have quite a good relationship with my GP, I think. And he comes to see my show sometimes. So when he speaks to me, he's like, oh, I saw your show. And we chat about that for ages. And I'm like, could we talk about my...
my legs hanging off.
Yeah. But we... yeah, he talked about it. He was very open. He said, but he explained that one thing, basically, if you do it for the NHS, you're on the waiting list for it. Now it's probably like 5 years or something crazy like that. Yeah. It was at least 2 years then. But there's a thing called Right to Choose, which was, from what I understand, which sounds really like right on, but actually I think it's probably a privatization thing, in that it's basically, I think, private companies paid, but instead of you paying them to get the diagnosis, the NHS is paying them. But then the weird thing is, this, by the way, you should listen to a thing called the Adult ADHD podcast if you want some more factual information. I'm not very factual. I'm just saying what I remember, but they do explain it very well. But you then can get pills through them, but you're paying for them. So I still haven't done that. Literally, I haven't done that. Partly because I don't want to, because I feel a bit weird about taking pills, but also I just haven't got round to fit you. That's another fucking form.
Yeah.
And you have to like check your blood pressure and all this. And that is impossible for me to get round to doing that at the minute. Anyway, the NHS put you on to, so they diagnose you. This man diagnosed me. You have to fill in all the forms. You have to give like examples, and someone else has to give examples from when you were a kid or from when they knew you before and from now, sort of thing. So me and my wife did it. She didn't know me when I was a kid, but you know. And then, yeah, you have like a chat. It was like an hour or so. And then he says, yep, you've got ADHD. I think we can say you've got ADHD. I'm diagnosed with ADHD or whatever he said. But the NHS still won't give you the pills until they've given you the diagnosis, even though that is an official diagnosis, which doesn't help my sort of imposter syndrome-y or whatever it is thing of going, oh, maybe it's not real then. Do you know what I mean? But obviously I immediately wanted to do, being the person I am, I immediately wanted to do a show about it, you know?
Yes.
I had a joke with Anna where I did a show about her having depression. It was like, I ended up in this therapy group. Within 10 minutes, I'm running the group. And 20 minutes later, he's left, the man's retired. And in half an hour, I decided to put on an Edinburgh show about it, you know? And it is the case, isn't it? It's a joke, like when something tragic happens, you go, great, here's an Edinburgh show, you know? But it wasn't actually that. It wasn't that I thought, oh, this will be a sad ending or anything. I was like, I want to talk about this. It was such a big thing. And then the podcast was a means of then going further into that, was the idea. But as with every ADHD thing, I just sort of started running, and then I haven't got any shoes on. And so Jamie, you are hopefully going to be my shoes.
I will be your shoes.
Been an ambition of yours. Yeah.
I'll be one shoe and a flip flop on the other.
Yes.
Foot.
Oh, lovely. Wonderful.
I did see, I was having a look at the Mind. I was having a look at the Mind website and saw that apparently 40% of all GP appointments involve mental health in some regard.
Wow.
Which I assume even 10 years ago, we probably absolutely wouldn't have recognized that.
So it is getting better. I feel like there is a backlash. Again, this is a social media thing.
Yeah.
Which does freak me out massively. Which is the backlash, similar to like what's going on with the anti-woke people and the anti-trans people and all that. I've started to see people sort of go, no, you're not, you're just lazy. Everyone's just saying they're ADHD to get stuff or to make them more interesting. Or why is there this, why do you think there's this like desire to go, shut up, everything's fine? Like some of the people who I think of who have said or would say these things to me, I would definitely, I'm not a doctor, I don't know, but would definitely diagnose as having ADHD, by the way. Do you know what I mean? As in, there are people who talk at speed, loads of stuff at you, don't really hear your side of the story, don't, do you know what I mean? Anyway, what do you think?
I think it comes from the same place as the people who say, well, I got beaten as a child and it never affected me and it made me a better person. And I think, like, older people in particular, looking back to kind of accept all of this new stuff that is kind of new science, is to sort of rubbish their own experience, or, you know, lots of
they take it personally.
Lots of women who joined the Me Too movement said, well, you know, I used to get my ass slapped in the office and I just got on with it. And we just, it's like, well, but why wouldn't you want to change that for everybody else? Like, you know, just because you kind of live with it and didn't get the benefits. If we're now getting benefits out of it, then why wouldn't you want that for people? Seems to me strange that it's almost like wishing ill on other people just to make yourself feel better almost. I think the difficulty with ADHD is it is a spectrum. I think, you know, everybody is on it somewhere. Most people are in the, so neurotypical people are just bang in the middle of it.
But I'm not sure about that when you say everyone is on the spectrum. Is that true? A few a few people say, oh, I think at the end of the day, we're all a bit ADHD, which I think is quite offensive. I'm not saying you're being offensive, but like, I think the community find that quite, do you know what I mean? It's like, because I often find I'll say something to someone about ADHD. As I say, I'm always fucking talking about it. And they'll go, oh, no, you're all right. I get that. And I'm sort of like going, yeah, but no, not to the degree I have. And it doesn't affect you in the way it does me. And anyway, sorry.
A bit like politics with the Overton window, where you've got that being the kind of center ground. And sometimes it gets pulled left and right and opened and closed. I think that's the same sort of thing. So when I say a spectrum, I don't mean medically everybody's on the spectrum. I mean, I see it as not a binary, but an analog. You know, everybody is somewhere on it, but there are areas at either end of it where it becomes a problem for you. So some people are right in the middle of the spectrum and could have episodes that involve it, but recover and be fine, and other people not. And I think that's why people feel like, oh, we all have these little, you know, blip moments, and you know, you just got to pull your bootstraps up and get on with it. And if somebody is kind of too far around the spectrum that it is actually a genuine problem for them, it kind of, oh, well, that gives them an excuse. So I'm uncomfortable with that. Is I think why people push back against it sometimes.
Right. Yeah,
I should emphasize, before anyone finds my social media, I absolutely don't believe that that's the case. I think that's why people do. That way sometimes.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, I've had a thing sometimes because of the imposter thing, and I do feel like I feel like people are all. It's partly why I've jumped. I mean, I'm so sorry. This sentence is awful. So far, but it gets a lot better once I work out what the sentence is. But I'm so split with it, which is quite typically ADHD, in that on one level, I'm pouring out these podcasts and stand-up routines and just talking about it all the time. On another level, I'm constantly terrified that I'm making it up. It's not real, so I don't... Do you know what I mean? That I'm just imagining. Yeah. And one thing that gets me quite a lot is someone said it to me the other day, and she was really lovely, really well-meaning. I really liked her. But she went, oh, you don't present as ADHD. And I find that just drops. It's like a knife in the heart. Do you know? It's like, because I can equate it. Once I worked with this woman, and I said I was an actor. It was when I was in a call centre years ago. And she went, oh, you don't look like an actor. And it was that level of like, oh, you know, like, it hurts so much. I can't quite understand why. But then I'm like, but she didn't mean it in a kind, you know, there's that thing going around where I see quite a lot where someone said, someone's son was playing up and they said, could you tell him to stop or something? And they said, he's autistic. And they went, well, he doesn't seem to be autistic. And then the person said, oh, can you do an autism, please, for the nice lady? You know, that kind of thing. Nice man, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, but her husband is ADHD as well. But from what she told me, he's like, blah, 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 you know, which I am. But then I have this kind of contradictory thing, which is why I think I might be autistic, as one of the reasons, I think, where sometimes in many situations, I just go zoom, small, and disappear and like can hardly speak and can hardly like look, move or look people in the eye or anything. Or do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like shyness, it's like paralysis. But I think that's where, and partly it's why I'm doing the Neuroverse. And I think if you go through the episodes, so many more of them, I realized, then I'm not sitting here and go, so one of the symptoms of ADHD is rejection sensitivity disorder. Today we're talking about that. You know, sometimes I try and do that, inevitably fails. But a lot of the time we talk about past trauma and sort of upbringing and all that stuff. Because I think the problem, as I say, isn't the ADHD, it's clashing with people. That clashing with things. And I think possibly why I don't present is I don't really have the hyperactive side so much. Although if you've seen any of my shows or tried to work with me, you might disagree with that. But in ordinary life, and I think that's come from a terror of showing it. So I've actually, like, funnily enough, on the Adult ADHD podcast, they say they're both really early for everything. Being late is like probably the number one thing that everyone thinks of ADHD. They're early for everything because they're like 2 hours early because they've just forced themselves to. Do you know what I mean? It's become like a terror of not being. I'm so sorry, Jamie. I don't remember what the question was originally, but does that? But yeah, the
was there a question? I don't know.
I don't know.
More of a tennis match than a chess match, I would say.
A lot of fun.
It's rather mean spirited of you not to present in the way that that person expects you to present, so that you can be effective.
She was lovely. She was really lovely. She really
pigeonholed.
Yeah.
No, God. Absolutely.
She really and also older people. I had a bit of a thing with an older person about autism, and they were quite like, "Oh no, but you're not doing the stimming thing." As in, I'm not doing, you know, stimming is where you're, you know, I have a shake in your hand. I know people who do that with their hands, or I just waved my hands in case you, or, you know, but like literally as I'm talking to you, I'm transforming Rodimus Prime.
Right.
I buy a lot of Transformers. No, Rodimus Prime. It's an unfortunate name, isn't it? For a leader of the Autobots. I've started buying old Transformers that I had when I was a kid, because there's a shop down the road from me that gets them and they sell them way too cheap. Don't tell them that. Okay. And it's my thing. I can't stop transforming them. And I always did it as a kid because it's the you know, so I don't know. I think I do stim. My stim is playing with Transformers. But what I'm saying is, yes, it's a massive spectrum. And it was quite surprising that person who said that to me is someone who works, you know, is involved in autism. I don't want to go into it too deep because I don't want to throw anyone under a bus. But I was like, I was quite surprised by how, 20 years old her information was.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
And as you say, it was, I think generally people are nice. And, a lot of the time when they say something that is offensive to somebody else, it's generally because they just don't know or they've misspoken. And, you know, it's important to immediately kind of query that and make sure what they did mean. And that's across all mental health.
I've started doing that.
Politics, life, I would say.
I've started doing that quite a lot recently. I don't really call people up on things. I probably should more. But when I feel like I've said something that's upset someone, or I come away a bit like I might have been being a twat there, I try and immediately message them.
Yeah.
And so far, no one said, yes, you were. Everyone's gone, no, not at all, you know. But that comes from not reading people properly or struggling to read people, not knowing was that a smile or are you furious? Are you furious at me or furious at your day? Is it, you know. But yeah,
it's important to understand and kind of accept people. I say a lot of the time when people talk about cancel culture as well, somebody will misspeak. So, you know, you might use the wrong pronoun. And then the other person will correct them. Mm. And at that point, there is a choice. They either double down on it and go, well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
In which case, don't like you. Or they say, "I'm terribly sorry. I will try and do that, but I'm, you know, I'm inexperienced, and I will do my best to do better."
But do you,
most people in that second camp.
But yes, I agree. What's even worse than that is that I think actually where it gets really horrible is it's people don't really confront it because it's hard to confront something for long. And I think if you did go, well, no, I'm not going to say that actually. There's the famous, who's the footballer who, didn't he say something and someone corrected him? And then now he's become like a absolute like woke ambassador. What's his name? He's a goalkeeper. He's very funny and very good with it and stuff. I've completely forgot his name.
People, I don't know who that is.
You not heard about that? He's quite a he's like from out when we were growing up sort of time, like from the 80s type guy.
Is it Neville Southall?
Yes,
he's very good.
I don't know anything about football. Was he a goalkeeper?
He was. Played for Everton.
I know that. I know something about football. And I know the name Peter Shilton, which I've always found slightly funny for some reason. Anyway, but what happens is I think people don't really confront it. Understandably to some degree, because no one likes confrontation generally unless you're a bit, you know, a bit mad.
Yeah,
that's very very not cool thing to say, is it? But I think what's worse is people dog whistle, and that's the thing that's the worst thing for me, because I grew up with that. I don't know whether it's a particular like it's definitely my area and my family, but I don't know whether it's a particular Midlandsy thing where people are just a bit like, oh yeah. You know that kind of thing?
The thing
that sticks in my eyes are, I'm sure. That's the phrase I always used to. Oh, I'm sure. So is it, got that ADHD, have you? All right, then. You know, and that's so hard because it's hard to actually go, sorry, what do you actually mean by that?
Yeah.
Because then when they go, nothing. And that's so, it's like the Nadine Dorries is like that, isn't there? Isn't she? All those people, they have that kind of like, I'm suggesting a thing, you know. Anyway, this has gone political, hasn't it? We didn't mean for it to go political.
Well, I was going to say, some people have blind spots as well. My grandmother was incredibly progressive, considering, you know, the generation that she came from. Yeah. Incredibly progressive about all sorts of things. Vegetarianism, she could not abide. Like,
really?
She just could not understand. She would point to her teeth and say, "What do you think these for? That's a ripping flesh. It's what
biting the necks of men."
Like, everything else, like, you know, uniting the races, you know, completely sexually liberated, but vegetarians just could not. No,
thank you. That's a bridge too far.
Yeah. It seemed like a weird hill to die on that one.
It's a weird hill to die on, isn't it? The things that
very,
people really
very minor.
I kind of like that, though. I find that kind of cute. I like it when someone's really pissed off about one thing that's like, because normally what you actually find is someone says a sort of dog whistle thing about something, whatever it is, you know, neurodiversity or trans things or whatever. And then quite quickly, all the other stuff comes out as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's rarely like, no, I don't, I'm not one of those, but I'm not all that stuff. I'm not a racist and all that stuff. I just think this one thing bothers me. It's like, yeah, that bothers me actually. And I agree with all the other things as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the ADHD one that comes up a lot is, I was recently in America. Yeah. Not showing off about it, but I was recently in America. And listening to a lot of kind of the political, like the right-wing kind of talk show hosts, and one of the things that came up about ADHD all the time is every time they mentioned it, or just mental health in general, it was the old trope about it's a child that's got ADHD. No, they haven't. They're just a child. That's how they are. And you hear that so much, like
which is quite, again, like spectrum, you know, children, like all humans, are many different things.
Yeah,
you know, there's not. A child behaves in this way and they all behave in that way. No, they don't. Do you know what I mean? Or even like within ADHD or autistic children, you know, it's so what is the answer from their point of view? Like, just leave them to the wolves. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
They'll be all right.
I think that's their principle. Right. Yeah. Just let them get on with it.
Well, I know from my own absolutely addled, messed up brain, that's not nice.
Well, to drag
that
this
doesn't
back
end
to
great.
Brain.
Yes, we don't have very long left. I would love this chat, Jamie. It's been lovely.
after we've cut the last 45 minutes back.
Yeah.
So looking at the Mind website again, I noticed that they're kind of three like pivotal things are to write things down as an ADHD person, write things down to talk openly. And then they talk about cognitive behavioral therapy as well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is maybe what you're doing in a sort of with these podcasts. Is this therapy for you?
I mean, I do have therapy. I do have therapy, and I've discovered Neurodiversity, my Neurodiversity, as I've been having therapy. He agrees with me, but he didn't tell me I was. I kind of discovered it independently. But yeah, I guess this is a kind of therapy, yeah. And I get a lot out of it. It's in my way of understanding and talking about it. I guess it's a way of doing the podcast, you mean?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a way of being able to go on this journey. And do you know what? I just always need an audience. I come alive when I have an audience. I feel like even though that audience are in my head, but I know that they are listening, at least some people are listening. So I like to present it as if I'm doing a show to some degree. And, you know, I find even when we go on camping holidays and stuff with people that I really love, but I'll often just, you know, like when C-3PO just turns off.
Yes.
Because I just don't know how to interact. And I haven't spoken for hours and I haven't listened either because my head's been blah, blah, blah. And I've just wandered off. And then I sort of go, but then as soon as I start being funny and they start, oh, they're all listening, then I do a show for them. That's why I think, you know, therapy is great for me. But yeah, I do need this outlet, I think, to be able to understand it, which is highly exploitative.
It's interesting that you've chosen to kind of split the podcast almost into the bits where it's, you know, just you talking about yourself and then talking to other people. Because I think, you know, what I found with the Fringe Festival support stuff was that talking to other people is a therapy. Because it's kind of, you know, it's your people, it's your community. And it's useful to talk to people who go through the same things.
I think there hasn't been that much. I've had a few people have emailed me. Obviously, ADHD people, they tend to email very long emails that covers their entire life, which is lovely. I'm not trying to say stop, but I then struggle to read through it because I look at it, start reading and go, this is too much information. I can't, you know. The community thing, but then I think in a way I am just talking at you, and I think people who like it. So I guess the community thing hasn't really sprouted, but then also I don't know what the hell I'm doing with like things like Discord and all those things.
Yeah.
But I would like help, Jamie, to try and maybe turn that into more of a community. Would be lovely.
I mean, when I'm talking I'm just talking about maybe just like these individuals that you've interviewed and, you know, reaching out to people that are going through similar things and being able to kind of empathize and share. I mean, a lot of the episodes that I've heard where you're talking to other people is a constant kind of back and forth of people saying, oh yes, I relate to that. And you relating to what they're saying as well.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it kind of so nice.
Crystal Evans. Oh, I had on was so, I had to speak to her. I really did. Cause that was so connect reading that, which is what I hope to do with this podcast for people. Reading that and hearing her story resonated so much. I think that is like lights in the darkness, isn't it? Or it's like a light at sea, because and the sea is the darkness and the fog is just all those people going, you're all right, shut up, nothing wrong with you, we're all like that, don't worry about it, blah blah blah. And there's one person going, oh no, I've got a oh no, you know, and then you go over to that light and you can have a little chat, you know, and then you get lost in the darkness again. But all my life isn't darkness. Most of it's happy, but it's
no. But as you look around, you know, you start off with one light in the distance, and then you find another one, and you find another one, and you link these all together, and you know,
and then it gets too bright, and then you run off.
Yes, and for goodness' sake,
no, I agree.
Bedtime.
Oh, a world of stars.
Yeah,
that's lovely. All right, Jamie, I'm going to have to go, but I think that's fun start.
I think so.
Thank you, Jamie, for joining.
That's quite right.
And you're going to come with me on this journey.
I will be there carrying
you.
We
don't know where we're going. I think that's the whole point, is that we don't know where we're going. And the lovely thing with having you, Jamie, is that you're not that you're this sort of
bookkeeping type character, but you know, you help, you understand structure perhaps a bit better than me, and you sort of know to ask. Just asking me those questions was great, led me onto all sorts of things, whereas I just sat there. It's good, thank you.
I'm happy to be here to lead you on.
Thank you, darling. So yes, so I think we'll be back next week, but we might take a break and try and work out what we're doing. Consider this the end of the season? Yes, this is the end of the season. But when we come back, what I wanted to do is go through all the episodes, but we could do that as a catch-up for the start of the next season, previously on Into the Neuroverse. And to be honest with you, as I've said, in all honesty, the reason why I sometimes do the interviews, sometimes I do the waffles of me, is because I can't, it's pure ADHD, can't decide which one is I want to do. So I'm just doing both. Can't decide which one I should do. Every time I think maybe I'll stop doing that side and just do this side, I think, but maybe, you know, madness.
Well, I was going to drop in as well. I mean, it's not a sponsorship deal, but mind.org.uk is a very good resource for all things mental health. And anybody who wants to read more about it should go there.
Yeah. And with ADHD Aware, that's Brighton, but I think any town you're in, probably there's some sort of group. So it's always worth a Google. Fine. It is. I cannot, once you're around them as well, you sort of immediately go, oh, okay. It's, you know, you don't go in and go, oh, I'm not like these guys, you know, or you might do. I don't know. That doesn't mean anything either way, but I'd recommend doing it. I recommend finding other neurodiverse people and just going, oh, it is a bit like that, isn't it? Lovely. Thank you, Jamie. And thanks for listening, everyone. Bye. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, Jamie.
Wonderful.
Thank you for listening to Into the Neuroverse with me, Colin Holt. You can find me on Twitter at Colin Holt, on Instagram at Colin Holt Comedy. You can support the podcast if you like it and want to keep it going. Money is the best way to keep things going. Go to patreon.com/Colin Holt and you can pay me anything up to £1 billion a week. And I will happily take it. Any more than that is just greedy. A big thank you to at Eyes on Legs, who did the music for this. So find him on Twitter and so on if you want to get him to do music for you. At Ed Shots, who did the original photograph. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your support. And please do rate, subscribe, review, and like wherever you can. And I'll keep doing this as long as anyone's interested. That could include myself. I do lose interest very quickly. Also, make sure you check out my website. I am colinholt.com for all the latest news. Contact United Agents if you want to book me for any gigs or acting work or dancing work. I'm actually a very good dancer, or anything like that. Or if you want to contact me direct, it's colinholtcomedy@gmail.com. Thank you. Bye.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.